Colossians chapter 3. I've titled this The New Man. Now, I would have had another title called The New Man, which was about Ephesians, because Ephesians chapter 4, these are sister epistles, and so they kind of mirror one another. But I've titled this The New Man for lack of a better title. But you'll see why as we get into it. As I was preparing and wrapping up my message earlier this morning, and as our text talks about truth and not lying to one another, I went online real quick just to look at any headlines that may have posted, and I read this: early in his Marine Corps career, which he concluded as a four-star general, Walter Boomer was decorated for valor in Vietnam. He distilled into three words the lesson of that decade: tell the truth. Tell the truth. And when I read that, I was like, wow, thank you, Father. That's an article in the Washington Post written by George Will. And the reason why that hit me so hard, tell the truth, because our text, Colossians 3 and 9, this is how it starts out: do not lie one to another. Do not lie one to another. Now, you say, Paul, why are you, these are Christians you're talking to. Why? But this is the first century church. This is people who are coming out of Gnosticism. People are coming out of idolatry. People coming out of self-serving, what have you, all kinds of sinful lifestyles. And Paul says to them, do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We're Colossians 3, 9 through 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen? And so that's our text for today. So let me deal with it, because Paul says, do not lie one to another. Now, as members of the body of Christ, we're not to lie to one another. But before we get there, if we shorten what Paul said, we get this: do not lie. Okay? And Paul wasn't saying it's okay to lie to the heathen, to the unsaved, but don't lie to one another. No, he was simply saying, don't lie. Don't lie, but especially not to one another. Hello. And what we find is that what Paul is, the Spirit of God is saying through Paul to the church at Colossae, God said in the Old Testament to the Jews. Because in Leviticus 19:11, the scripture reads, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Nor lie to one another. And my wife, remembering some things that I said in sermons before, said to me the other day when we were walking, we were sitting around the house, and she says, honey, you said something about in a message the other day that one of the easiest sins to commit is to tell a lie. I was like, that's right. Because of some things that she's going through with different people, what have you. And but make no mistake about it. One of the easiest sins to commit is to tell a lie. And you don't even have to think about it. I mean, or put it this way, the flesh thinks about it so fast and comes with the lie that before you even know it, it's coming out your mouth. You said, did you do that? No, I didn't do it. Well, you know good and well, your heart bears witness with the truth that you indeed did it, but your mouth, it just flies out, and you're like, oh. I just told a lie. Hello. He says, do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man. What we find this commandment, this is an Old Testament commandment, but we also find that lying is a character trait of the old man. Listen to what he says. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. In other words, lying is a character trait of the old man. And he says, because you have put on the new man, that you shouldn't live a life of habitual lying. Now, I'm not saying that the day Christians get saved, you can never tell a lie again, because all of us would be have sinned. Because all of us, even as Christians, at some one point or another, we told a lie. We're not George Washington. Okay, never mind. But and so, but here's what's different. In the Old Testament, they were given the command, you shall not lie one to another. But in the New Testament, Paul says, don't lie to one another since you've put off the old man. See, something happened in the New Testament as opposed to the old. In the Old Testament, God gave the people the command, which they could not keep. But in the New Testament, when God tells us not to lie, it's because the old man has been destroyed, and now we're living from the new man, which was created in Christ. Hello. Everything the Spirit of God is commanding us to do presently through Paul the Apostle is based on what Christ has already accomplished for us, or we wouldn't be able to do it. Remember what I always say, God first. God first. Paul says, don't lie. Why? Because you've put off the old and you've put on the new. When did we put off the old man? When did you put off the old man? Hello. Let me rephrase it. Who put off the old man and put on the new? You and I didn't do it. God did it. He did it for us. Why? Because we can't do anything for ourselves. Not until he does something first. I'm going to reiterate that till the day I die. I'm telling you right now. I'm just learning that. I'm just learning that in the last few years. I feel like, Lord, for real, all these years, I didn't know that that my focus needs to be on what you have done, not on what I have. So people tell me all the time, I've got to do, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to, and you got to, and you got to, and you have these burdens weighing over your head, all this stuff I got to do that you feel incapable of doing. And no one's telling me what God has done for me, which will enable me to do all those things. So I want to lighten the load. Where did we put off the old man and put on the new man? Because Paul says here, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Let me refresh your memory of you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Who put us in Christ? God did. It's not what we did. He did it. Then after he does what he does, then he tells us, now you live in that new man. I put you in him. Now you live. That's why when Paul says, don't lie to one another, we have the ability to do what he said by the Spirit of God, because now the new man has been created within us. What God did, we simply now have to agree with. God, the living truth, is living inside of us. And when he tells us to tell the truth, it's because we can. But he doesn't say that to the sinner. Why? Because the sinner can't. The sinner's living a lie. You and I, come on, we're living a lie. When we were sinners. But now in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so Paul says, don't lie. Because of what God has done for you. See? So now, I'm not condemned and all uptight in my flesh about what the scriptures commands me to do, because I'm so busy looking at what Christ has done and getting encouraged and strengthened by what Christ has done. Then now when the command comes, okay, well, yes, Lord, I want to do that. Amen. I want to dwell there. I want to live in that place, right? This is what's going on in you and I. Romans 6:4 says this, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That's the old man. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul says, don't lie because you've put on the new man. And when Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised with him by the glory of the Father. And now we walk in the new man. We walk in newness of life. And in that newness of life, we don't lie one to another. We don't lie. Somebody called me this past week. And there's all these services that ChemDry offers. And you buy the service, you get training, and then you go do the service. You go perform the service. And so I have been trained in this particular service that this individual called me about. And I have the certified equipment, and I can do the job. I can do the work. Well, he was in someone's house and said, "I need you to do this work." But he hadn't had the training. He didn't have bought the equipment. He don't know what he's doing. But he called me and said, "Hey, what do you think? Should I? You think I could get by with doing this?" And I'm like, "Get by." I'm like, "Well, man, look." If I were you, I wouldn't touch it. Because you haven't been trained, you haven't been certified, you don't have the equipment. What if you tear up something? Don't be calling me back and you come fix this. Mm-mm, no, not me. No, 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 no. And so just tell the man the truth. No, you can't do it. Boom, you can't do it. You ain't gonna lose nothing. In the world's eyes, you will. Right? But not before God. Galatians 6:15 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." A new creation. Circumcision won't help you if you become a Jew. Uncircumcision doesn't help you not being a Jew. What is the most effective is what God has done by making us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is saying that He's telling us to do the commandments of God based upon what God has already done for you. In other words, God will never tell you to do what you cannot do. And what he commands us to do, we do. What did Paul say? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. So whatever God commands us to do, we do through Christ. Through his power, living within us. That's where we get the strength and the power to do what he commands us to do. And so when this man said, tell the truth, and I'm looking, and I'm going through all these scriptures, and these past 2 weeks, the Washington Post, that I just quoted, had a journalist who was killed. Let me just say, he was murdered, tortured, dismembered. How important is truth? Let me show it to you. When they asked the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, what happened to him? The first thing they said was, well, he came into the consulate, and then he left, and we don't know where he went. Oh, is that really what happened? Is that the truth? Let me tell you something. We live in a world where truth is very hard to come by. I mean, it's very hard to come. In particular, wherever there's people with power, oh my goodness, the truth is very, very hard to come by. And yet, the scripture tells us as Christians, and you want to live as a light, you want to be a bright, shining beacon, wherever you go, tell the truth. Tell the truth. From the days when I was 20-some years old, and my manager at Giant said, when they asked you this, tell them this happened. From those days, come on, to this. Where, people asking us to lie, the enemy tempting us to lie. On and on and on it goes. But for us who live in the kingdom, we're to live at a higher standard. We're to live at a higher standard than the world around us. We ought to tell the truth. Listen at Hebrews chapter 8. I'm still dealing with the new man here. It says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with him, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant. That was the old covenant. The reason why there was a new covenant needed was because the old covenant wasn't sufficient. Okay? We understand, according to the scriptures, God never intended righteousness to come to the old covenant. The old covenant was but a tutor to bring people to Christ. Of course, when Christ came, the people still didn't come to him. The scripture says here, and I disregarded them, says the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. Beloved, that's what you and I have experienced right there. He said to the Jews, he says, listen, this covenant that you had, he says, the day's going to come where I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And that's why when Jesus came, he was sent to none but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why he told his disciples, don't go to the Gentiles. He says, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then you and I were brought into that covenant. But this covenant he established with the Jews, the new covenant. That's why we just read in Luke chapter 22, when he said, this with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you. Jesus was talking to his 12 disciples, who were all Jews. And they were the ones to whom he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. He was quoting Jeremiah out of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is what the Jews of the Old Testament did not possess. They did not have his laws written on their heart. You and I have his laws written on our heart. That's why when we do anything contrary to him, the Spirit of God speaks to us in our conscience, in our own heart. No one has to tell us. We know exactly where we are with God. He says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none of his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Listen at this, church. Oh, my God. Listen, you say, well, but the Bible says we're not to lie to one another. Well, what happens? Why is it? But, you know, I've told a lie before. What happens when I tell a lie? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Woo! Oh! And why do we praise the way we do? And why do we worship the way we do? Because of an awesome, loving God like that who forgives us of our sins, past, present, and future. Woo, God. That's why when we go to work with a smile on our face and joy in our heart, that's why they ask Kweku at work, why are you always smiling? What is it, man? Why are you always smiling? Well, if every sin you ever committed, past, present, and future, is forgiven, and he's always constantly maintaining relationship and fellowship with you, you'd be smiling too. You'd be in a good mood too. If you know that he's providing everything, come on, he's faithful to give us strength to get up out of the bed when you wake up and you put that first toe outside the bed, you say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know it's natural strength. Well, you may not know it now because you're real young, but when you get a little older, come on, you get a little older and you put that first toe out the side, you say, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Another day. Thank you for, I just give you honor and praise. Because you know it's all him. Hello. And so, yeah, you go to work with joy on your face, heart at ease and at peace and at rest. It says in verse 13, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Speaking of the old covenant. So when I see the commandment of God to live in a certain way, to live his way, I don't immediately start struggling in my own flesh and self-will to obey, but I look to the fullness of what Christ accomplished for me on the cross of Calvary. And from there, I gain the strength of God to live the life of God in me, through the life of God in me. Amen. Looking to him to live through me. I can tell the truth and not be given over to lying because the truth lives in me to declare the truth. Amen. Who did Jesus say he was in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then in the same chapter, he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. What's his name? The Spirit of Truth. If you're a Christian, you cannot get away from telling the truth. Why? Because he who is the truth is living in you. And to live a life of lying is to live contrary to the character of the one who's given you life. So guess what you do? You're going to tell the truth. Huh? And like I say, truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he's pointed to the Holy Spirit, who is a person, not a it, not a thing. He's a person. And he's called the Spirit of Truth. And that's why when anything, and it's amazing. It's amazing to us how in courts of law, and how in with man's ability to gray things, we can say things like this. Well, that's a half truth. Jesus didn't say, I am the way, the half truth. There's no such thing as a half truth. It's interesting because of the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. When you see something, when you hear something, the Spirit of Truth bears witness with the truth in you. You can try and like waltz around it, skip around it all you want. But the Spirit of Truth then says, you know what's up. You know what's up. Come on. And I'm holding you accountable to the truth. Right? Doesn't matter what all those other people say. Poor President Trump, when he's on the plane flying, and they said, Did you pay this woman? No, I didn't pay any. I didn't pay anybody. No. Talk to him, he did it. And later on, after the reporting got so thick, he says, well, yeah, I did it. I did it. You know why we pray for our leaders? Because they're in the same boat. They're being tempted to lie, cheat, steal, you name it. But for the Christian, the scripture says, do not lie to one another. And so Paul is teaching and he's commanding according to the word of God. And according to the Spirit of Truth who lives within us. If we're in Christ, if we are in Christ, there is no getting away from telling the truth. Period. The Holy Spirit will convict every child of his to repent and abandon the practice of lying. Amen. I'll tell you that the infamous story of when I was cleaning carpet years ago and the woman said, the owner of the business of ChemDry has stopped using the right solution, and I knew it. And I'm going on cleaning. I'm 20-some years old. And the woman said, and I believe it was of the Lord that she said it, because he had to put his finger on the lie that I knew about. Now, I didn't instigate the lie, but I knew about it. That just shows you how far truth goes. You don't have to be the one that initiates the lie, but because you know about it, then you're going to be held accountable and responsible. And so the woman says, is this that wonderful ChemDry solution? and she was just, because she heard about, you know, this, and it's special. Our solution is special. You can't get it anywhere. A research company makes it. No one else can. It's proprietary. No one else can get it. She says, is this this special solution? And I said, yes. And the moment I said yes, it was like a dagger. Oh! I was like, because the Holy Spirit said, liar! I went, ah! I'm standing in her house cleaning her steps, and I'm like about to pass out. I'm like, oh God, he's a liar. That's the way, because that's what the law does. It convicts. Hello? Spirit of Truth convicts. And it was that day, it was after that experience, I went to my boss. I says, here's my 2 weeks. He's like, what's wrong? Why are you quitting? I said, man, you using this? I tell you, I was in that lady's house. My conscience was tearing me up. He said, let me be your conscience. And he was a Christian. I said, no, sir. I said, I'm done, man. 2 weeks, I'm out. I can't do this. Because it was either that, because the Spirit of Truth is greater than man. I don't care what a man thinks, but let me say, A man can't crawl on the inside of you and tear you up from the inside out. Man can't do that, but the truth can. Hello. Remember Marian Anderson? Not Marian Anderson. It's that girl who won those five Olympics. Marian Jones, thank you. She won five gold medals, track and field. Only 2 years later, she came back with all her medals, put them on the counter, says, "I was doping. Here are all the medals back." No one forced her to do it. No one said, "We're going to rat you. We're going to out you. We know about it. You need to go." And no, you know what it was? Something on the inside kept telling her, "You're wrong. You know you're wrong. And the truth is that you dope." And she gave all the medals back. Why? Because the truth. Because of the truth. So we're not to lie one to another. Acts chapter 5, verse 4 is a very famous story of two Christians lying. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? And they, you know, God was moving in the early church, and people were selling land and giving lady of money at the apostles' feet. But they figured what they would do is to look big in the eyes of the people. They would sell their property, take some of the money and hold it back, but give the rest and say, you know, "Yeah, we sold this and we want to help everybody and give it away." And, you know, "Oh, so-and-so sold the property and give it away. Aren't they great? Ooh." And Peter said, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." You have not lied to men, but to God. And so, what do we see? When Paul says, "Do not lie to one another," when I lie to you, I'm not just lying to you. I'm lying to God. When I lie to you, I'm not only rejecting you, I'm rejecting God. And they were rejecting the one who had saved them. And so why did God reveal their sin and issue judgment in that particular case? Well, he revealed sin because, in this case, the lie, because lying is contrary to who he is. Hello. I said lying, we're made in the image of God, church. But you have to understand something. We're made in his image, but we are not him. We don't believe what some of the religions believe, that if you keep evolving, one day you're going to become God. Because Titus 2:1-2 says that God, who cannot lie, he's different from us, church. See, we can lie, but he cannot lie. Hello. What's the wages of sin? Death. Can God die? No. Which means he cannot sin. He is sinless, totally, perfectly righteous. He cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says that God cut a covenant and said, and the proofs for the covenant that he cut said that they were of such validity that it was impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. So we're made in his image, but make no mistake, we're not him. Lying is contrary to his very nature. And so we remember that he cannot lie, and it's impossible for him to lie. Therefore, we cannot exist in his presence when we live a lie. That's what was happening in this particular case. They lied. They're born again Christians. God said, "Okay, come on home. You're wasting oxygen on the planet. Whoop, time to go. Come on home." Boom. And they're gone. It says, great fear came upon the church. But every day you and I attempted to lie and to lie to one another. And one of the institutions that the world would look to and think it wouldn't lie is the one that's in the spotlight right now for having lied so much that people are losing faith like crazy. And that's the Catholic Church. Did you have priests that molested? No. Everything, no. They didn't do it. Just moved them from this parish over to that parish. And now it's all being uncovered. All these lies. Why does the world lie the way it does? Because the world follows its father. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so we see institutions, we see peoples, we see industries that are built upon lies. Lies. Isaiah 59:14, at one point it was so bad, Isaiah prophesied justice is turned back, personifying these moral traits. Justice is turned back, righteousness stands afar off, truth is fallen in the street. As if truth was shot down and murdered, is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. But listen to these scriptures about God. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. For the Lord is good. Psalm 100:5. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Listen, we may not know all of the truth concerning, and I think about this a lot as I live this life, because you get in so many circumstances and between the news, the things you read on the news, you know, workplace, neighborhood, all these things. God knows the truth about every situation. We don't. We're in the dark concerning so many things, but make no mistake about it. God, the truth, is going to hold everyone accountable to the truth or to himself, right? And so he tells us not to lie because he's made us brand new. We are the ones who have the God of truth, the scriptures that I'm reading right now, the God who is truth is living within us. That is why I'm not to lie to my brother. Psalm 100:60, the entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. Proverbs 20:28. Mercy and truth preserve the king. Mercy and truth preserve the king. Except for right now, Saudi Arabia is reigning. Well, he's a prince. His father, the king, is so he's in his 80s, so he's not ruling. He's ruling, but he's put his son up. This prince is supposed to rule by truth. But all the reports are saying, well, he had to have known about this killing. And they just 15 men come with a bone saw to have a little discussion with someone and end up killing him and chopping him up. That doesn't seem like, you know, just something that happens the way it did. Anyhow, God knows the truth. Psalm 51:6, written by the prophet King David. Listen to what he says. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Hello? You desire truth in the inward parts. Makes sense that David would prophesy that because it was his son Jesus Christ who would go and through his death produce truth in the inward parts. That truth lives in you and I right now. Amen? This is the work. This is an ongoing work. Proverbs 23:23. Easy to memorize. Buy the truth, sell it not. You hear me? Do you hear God? Buy the truth and sell it not, even if you could get $1.6 billion. Buy the truth. Did you buy that ticket? No, you was walking home and the dude walking in front of you, you saw him and it fell out of his pocket and you went and picked it up. And then you go and it's the winning number. And you go and they say, did you buy that ticket? Oh, my goodness. Now we have a problem. $1.6 billion. But are you going to lie? Yeah. Where'd you buy the ticket? Oh, they know where it was sold. So, where you buy the ticket? See, now, the scripture says, buy the truth and don't sell it. What is he saying there? He's saying that the truth is more valuable than anything. Than anything. Jeff Bezos offered you, he's worth over $100 billion. He offered you all of that for truth. Scripture says, not worth it. Keep your money. All right? 1 Corinthians 13:6. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter of love. What does love say? What does it say about love? Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Which means when I'm living a lie, truth is not rejoicing over me. But the Bible says he rejoices over us with singing. Isn't that what the scripture says? Yeah, except for when I'm living a lie. No, he's not. He wasn't rejoicing over Ananias and Sapphira. He's like, time to go. Ephesians 4:15, the sister epistles to Colossians. But speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. You know, Jesus did that with Peter. And you know, the disciples, the Lord, on the night that he was betrayed, the scripture says that he told them, he says, you're all going to, well, someone's going to betray me. And then he says later, he says, you're all going to leave me, forsake me this night. Peter said, though I have to die with you, I will not forsake you. And then Jesus turned to him and spoke truth. I mean, though it would cut. And though what Jesus said, you say, how can you say that about a friend? Man, I'm one of your three, Jesus, Peter, James, and John. He had the three, he had the one, you know, he had the 12, and I'm one of your boys. Jesus. He says, Peter, will you die for me? Let me tell you how bad your situation is. Before the cock crows tonight, you're gonna deny me three times. That was a heavy truth. But Peter needed to hear it. He spoke the truth in love. God help us to do the same. Ephesians 4:21, indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught by him. Let me tell you what's going on every day in my life and in your life. We're hearing Jesus. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. He said, others, another shepherd, they will not follow. But we're hearing him and we're being taught by him. Every day. Every day. Speed limit 55. We coming up on 80. And something in the heart go, you know, to need to slow it down. Come on. Wisdom speaking. Did I wake anybody up back there? I can't see. Hey, you, amen. Oh, we hearing? She ain't the only one that can drive fast. Amen. I can get on down the road too, you know? Yeah. So, but the Spirit of God, the truth is teaching us. He's teaching us. Paul said, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, I'm of this persuasion. I have never committed a sin, but that the Holy Spirit hasn't said to me first. I don't know what your experience is. In Genesis chapter 4, when Cain brought his offering and was rejected, and Abel brought his offering and was accepted, and Cain was mad, and the scripture says, God said to Cain, he says, sin is crouching at your door. He said, and it's desirous of you. He says, it wants to master you, but you should master it. What was God talking about? He was talking about the anger that was rising in Cain's heart because his offering was rejected. And he was now getting angry and mad with Abel, and he wanted to murder him. He wanted to kill him. And God went to him before he killed him. Why? Because he saw the sin. He saw it raging in his heart. And the same God who did that then will come to, he comes to me. I don't ever commit a sin that I know the Holy Spirit said, mm-mm. You know on the inside because of the Spirit of truth. If we'll listen to him, if you heard him, if you've been taught by him, yeah, so many illustrations over life I could go there with, but I won't. Ephesians 4:25, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having girded your waist with what? Truth. The Bible has so much to say about truth and any other, you name the topic, light, love, you grace, you name it, the Bible is full. 1 John 3:18, John said, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Not in word or in tongue. I love you, be filled. Hope you got everything you need. No, in deed and in truth. All right, let me move on to verse 10. That was verse 9. Verse 10 and 11 will be short. We're going to be out here in a few minutes. All right. Verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image. The image means the representation, the resemblance, or the likeness of him who created him. In other words, God has created us anew. When we were saved, we were made new. Since God has made us new, Paul says, don't live according to the ways of the world, but to think differently according to the ways of the kingdom. We see that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see that renewing? He tells us to renew our mind, but remember what I said. Whenever God tells you to do something, it's because he's already made provision for you to do it. What was the provision? It's our text today where Paul says, and have put on the new man. You and I have access to the new man. And the new man feeds on what? This right here. This is what the new man feeds on. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hello. The new man feeds on this. And so we're to renew our mind with the ways of the kingdom. And that's here. You won't find it in a TV show. You won't find it on a radio. You won't find it on the internet. You'll find it right here in his book, in his word. He says, so to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, all my Christian life, I've been taught Romans 12, and they start with Romans 12. All the burdens on me. Now you need to do this, and don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the, renew your mind by meditating on the word of God. Here you meditate, got your scriptures up, and you try and memorize scripture, and you wearing yourself out. You're like, I think I've done all I can do. Lord, help me. I feel like but no one is. Listen, Pastor Andy used to always say, whenever you come to a therefore, find out why what it's there for. Okay? And so when he says, I beseech you, therefore, you got to go back into Romans 9, 10, and 11 in particular, verse chapter 11, and find out what Paul is talking about. Because he's talking about what Christ has done, what he did in blinding the Jews for a while and grafting in the Gentiles. And now Gentiles has been made fellow heirs with the covenants of promise that the Jews had access to. Now where are they? He says, now because of this, God has had all this mercy on you. Because of that, now then present your bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, you need to look at all that God has accomplished for you, and now this is what his requirement is for you to live this way. And not to mention that he filled our hearts with love for him. We love him because he first loved us. And he's constantly breathing upon warming your love and my love for him. We're falling in love with Jesus more and more every day. More and more, I can't wait to see him. More and more, I can't wait. Oh, God. Oh, yes, if I go before any of us do, beloved, listen, I can't, I've been thinking a lot about this. I've been thinking about putting a video together, but that would be wrong because if I passed away on that day, y'all be all, oh, Pastor Pat. Oh, and then, but if I made a funny video like, y'all don't be crying for me. Woo, glory, I get to see Jesus. That wouldn't be right because you wouldn't be in two different places. So I can't do that. But I can tell you this. If I go to be with Jesus, oh, my. What I was made for, I'm finally there. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say because, you know, being with him, absent from the body, present with the Lord, I can't think of anything. There ain't nothing down here could keep me. I just let me go. Woo! Just let me go. Why? Because every day he's revealing himself to us and we're loving him more and more, and we don't get the credit for that. He does. Because he's causing us to love him more. That's our God. Okay. Oh, hold on. Couple more. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man or the new man is being renewed day by day. This renewing, this new man, was not only a one-time event, it's an ongoing process. In other words, the Holy Spirit is constantly renewing us. Titus 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. So he renews us, right? All right, that's verse 10. Verse 11, last verse. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in you all. And so here, Paul begins to deal with any type of classism or that people would have or think that there would be in the church. And he totally wipes it all away. You've heard it said that everything is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no high I and little you in the kingdom. So one commentary reads this way concerning it. Let me read Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, which is says the same thing. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the commentary reads concerning this passage of Scripture. All are on a level. All are saved in the same way. All are entitled to the same privileges. There is no favoritism on account of birth, beauty, or blood. Thank you, sister. Praise Jesus. Do you know where we are in our country? Come on, y'all. Does this mean there is no favoritism on account of birth, beauty, or blood? All confess that they are sinners. All are saved by the merits of the same Savior. All are admitted to the same privileges as children of God. And so when he says the word Greek here is used to denote the Gentiles generally, since the whole world was divided by the Jews into Jews and Greeks, the Greeks being the foreign nation best known to them. If only the church held true to this reality for which Christ died. If only the church held true to this reality, because we see things happening in Christian circles. Well, we didn't say anything because this person is quite famous, and or it was an archbishop or a cardinal and so we didn't do. Why not? God does not play favorites. He's not partial. Come on. And then he says there is neither male nor female. There's neither black nor white. It was Martin Luther King who said, Martin Luther King Jr. said, it is appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. The most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That has been true for quite a while. This commentary says the meaning is that whatever was the birth or rank or nation or color or complexion, all under the gospel were on the same level. They were admitted to the same privileges and endowed with the same hopes of eternal life. This does not mean that all civil distinctions among people are to be disregarded. It does not mean that no respect is to be shown to those in office or to people in elevated rank. It does not mean that all are on a level in regards to talents, comforts, or wealth, but it means only that all people are on the same level with regard to salvation and obtaining that salvation. And then regarding male and female, and I close with this, one sex is not to be regarded as the special favorite of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And if that could ever enter someone's mind, they apparently haven't read the scripture or understood it. And the other to be excluded. Christianity thus elevates the female sex to an equality with the male on the most important of all interests. And it has in this way made most important changes in the world wherever it has prevailed. Everywhere but in connection with the Christian religion, woman has been degraded. She has been kept in ignorance. She has been treated as an inferior in all respects. She has been doomed to unpitied drudgery and ignorance and toil. And I was just reading an article the other day that said still women, with regard to CEOs of Fortune 500 companies in America, women possess less places in CEO positions than a man with the name James. In other words, there are more CEOs named James in Fortune 500 companies than there are women in all of them. Okay, what does it say? It speaks of male dominance, white male dominance in particular, but male dominance nonetheless. It says, so she was among the ancient Greeks and Romans. So she is among the savages of America. So she is in China and India and in the islands of the sea. So she is regarded in the Quran and all the Muslim countries. It is Christianity alone which has elevated her. And nowhere on earth does man regard the mother of his children as an intelligent companion and friend except where the influence of the Christian religion has been felt. At the communion table, at the foot of the cross, and in the hopes of heaven. I hope you know with those references what he's speaking to. At the communion table, speaking of Mary who came with the alabaster box while Jesus was eating and anointed his feet. At the foot of the cross, the women stood, right, watching him. And in the hopes of heaven, she is on a level with the man. And this fact diffuses a mild and purifying and elevating influence over all the relations of life. Woman has been raised from deep degradation by the influence of Christianity. And let me add, she has everywhere acknowledged the depth of gratitude and devoted herself as under a deep sense of obligation to lessening the burdens of humanity. You think of Mother Teresa and others, and to the work of elevating the degraded and instructing the ignorant and comforting the afflicted all over the world. Never has a debt been better repaid or the advantages of elevating one portion of the race been more apparent. And so we're all equal, church. And we're all to treat one another the exact same way and not pay favors or be partial to anyone in the body of Christ. Why? Because Christ is all and in you all. And Galatians 3 says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we bless you today. And we thank you for your divine word. We thank you for truth. We thank you that the truth lives in us and that we're not to lie to one another, but we're to remain in the truth. Lord, help us every day, Lord, to declare your truth. Lord, help us in every circumstance, in every situation. Lord, to weigh the circumstances and in any case, to remain in the truth. I pray, oh God, that we would walk this out. And Father, that we would experience the victory and joy, Lord, of declaring your truth, Lord, in a dark world. Father, that we would draw this strength and life from the new man, Lord, to declare the truth, which is Jesus Christ living in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen. Amen, amen. God bless you.